So our next presentation is by Christy Edwards, and the title of it is Phosphorus Placement and Rate in Reduced Tillage Systems.
Thank you. And I don't think the microphone is on, which I can... As he said, my name is Christy Edwards, and I'm currently doing my PhD at Kansas State University. And part of my dissertation is a long-term study looking at different phosphorus placements and how crops respond to these different placements over time. So by minimal tillage system, we mean stripped, in our case, we mean stripped tillage. And as you can see down here in the bottom left or right-hand corner, we're not completely tilling the entire plot. So we may get the benefits of both no-till and conventional tillage in the area or in our fields. And so with no-till in part of the plot, we may see benefits of conservation of water and soil. But with this with this conventional tillage that is in this band, which is 6 to 8 inches wide roughly, we may get the benefits of early growth due to preparation of the soil for that seed bed, because we're going to come back in and plant right over top of this conventional tilled band. Now, one other benefit we get from using the strip till unit is the application of a deep band concentrated fertilizer band directly below the plant, roughly 6 to 8 inches deep. And so many producers may like that because the fertilizer is very concentrated right underneath the plant. Now in Kansas, we've actually seen strip till adopted in several different areas. The two sites that we have for this study are Ottawa, which is dry land, and then Scandia, which is very highly productive for Kansas, which is actually irrigated. So some of the main studies that we've looked at with responses to fertilizer placement, there's a pretty consistent response to early season growth with these banded fertilizers. However, those early season growth may not necessarily translate into higher yields. So one hypothesis is that if we think about the amount of soil that roots come into contact with, say something like a broadcast in combination with a starter band, meaning a 2x2 applied at planting, may be our superior treatment, because the broadcast would actually allow for, say, increasing bulk soil phosphorus, with the starter band directly below the or directly beside the plant could have readily available phosphorus for early growth. So the main objectives, as I said, this is a long-term study. We have 9 years worth of data looking at these long-term effects of phosphorus placement on corn and soybeans, so a 2-year rotation. The number one objective was to see how corn responded to these direct treatments. Objective number two took into account to see if the fertilizer applied before corn would be enough for the 2-year rotation of corn and soybeans. So an additional phosphorus application was made to soybeans with the same treatments applied before corn. So objective number one, we decided to look at these different placements all at the same rate of 40 kilograms of P per hectare. I like to call them management systems. So management system number one was complete broadcast using triple superphosphate. Number two, using the deep band, which was applied with the strip till unit. All strip till was done in the spring prior to planting using 10-34-0. And then taking both of those placements and splitting the total application of 40 kilograms of P into a starter band, which the total application in the starter band of a 2x2 was 10 kilograms per hectare. Objective number two, as I said, was looking at that additional phosphorus application to soybeans, assuming that the phosphorus applied before corn may not be sufficient for the 2-year rotation. And so the two treatments applied before corn were a total of 20 kilograms of P and 40 kilograams of P, both split with the broadcast and starter 2x2 band. And then the additional soybean application was 20 kilograms of P per hectare as a broadcast using triple superphosphate. So if we take a look at our results, as I said, two locations, Scandia irrigated, Ottawa dry land, pretty typical soil test results. Based on Kansas State's recommendation, below 20 milligrams per kilogram of phosphorus, we should see a response. So in 2006, we should have saw a response to fertilizer applications in both locations. Looking at the ANOVA table, so I know this is a big table, but there's a general trend as time progresses. The data was analyzed using repeated measures, so assuming that the earlier years would be more related than, say, later years compared to the initial of the initial start of the experiment. So over time, mean separations due to treatments became more significant and were significant over averaged across years. So looking at that same ANOVA table, I wanted to try to compare the p-values given in the ANOVA table with the precipitation rates that had been received at those two locations in those years. And so, as I stated, Ottawa is a very dry land, not as highly productive as Scandia due to water limiting yield. And so our annual precipitation in millimeters per year actually match up with non-statistical difference in mean separations. In 2006, as I said, our soil test did show that we should have saw a response to fertilizer, but those two annual rainfalls were below, I'd say, the 10-year average, which for Scandia was roughly 1,000 millimeters and Ottawa 769. So I've analyzed the data by location. So here would be for Scandia. So looking at these different placements of broadcasts and deep band with no starter and with a starter, looking at corn and soybean yields. And as you can see in Scandia with broadcast, we did see a starter response, and these values were averaged over 9 years. However, we did not see a starter response when compared to the deep band, but not using the starter bands were numerically lower on average than using the starter band in corn. Now, if we look at the residual effects on those soybeans for the next year, we see a significant lower yield in the deep band with no starter. However, the other management practices, there are no statistical differences. In Ottawa, where moisture may be limiting, again, all management practices applied at the same 40 kilograms of P per hectare and averaged across 9 years. We have the broadcast and deep band with and without the starter, looking at the yields. And the only statistical yield difference for corn was a decrease in yield with the deep band with the starter. And we've had many talks to try to figure out why this may be. And in Ottawa, since it's dry land, we were thinking that the application in a deep band and with a starter band at such a high rate that we may progress the plant to, say, mature earlier when moisture may be limiting. But we're trying to look in to see why we may see a lack of starter response there. When we look at soybean yields, we see that same significant decrease or significantly lower yields for soybeans in that deep band with the starter. Again, we're looking into how maturities may change. But there are no differences between, say, the broadcast with or without the starter. So if we move on to objective number two, most farmers, we're getting out of the age where we try to apply all the fertilizer before corn for a two-year rotation. They're actually, you know, smartening up and saying, hey, yes, I will apply phosphorus to soybeans because we see a response, at least in Scandia. The x-axis here is what I call the fertilizer application before soybeans. So zero means the phosphorus was only applied before corn, and then there was an additional 20 kilograms of P per hectare applied. Now the graph is split because we wanted to test it at two total phosphorus application rates of that broadcast split with the starter band. And as you can see, we did see a significant increase in soybean yields with that additional 20 kilograms of P per hectare. However, in Ottawa, we did not see this same response. And there may be other limiting factors that may be causing this, which we're looking into in the near future. So summary, based on initial soil tests, we should have saw a response to fertilizer, and we did over time. This could be attributed to decreases in soil test with high removal rates. Maybe not, we're not applying enough back into the system, inadequate in fertilizer inputs in the rotation. And then corn and soybean yields were affected by placement, where Scandia corn increased with, we saw a really nice starter effect. But in Ottawa, the statistical lowest yield was with deep band with the starter. Objective number two, as I said before, do we need to apply more phosphorus to soybeans whenever we have a two-year rotation? And based on this study in Scandia, yes, we do. Especially when the treatment is a broadcast with a starter band, as we compared here. So some long-term or some practical applications is these farmers do the same practices year after year. Maybe they have these same management practices, so we want to be able to show long-term effects to these placements. With that, you know, do we see, on average, do we see a starter response, or do we see potential yield losses due to not fertilizing both crops? We want to answer those questions. Future research for me, I want to do an economical analysis to see if our starter application is significant, but is it economical with these different placements. And we also want to address the issues with soil sampling, whether we do some type of ratio of two outside the row, one inside the row, to better help producers try to figure out how to soil sample some of these practices that they do over time. I'd like to thank my major professor, Dr. Dorvar Ruiz-Diaz, committee, the Department of Agronomy, both research centers where the studies took place, fellow grad students and workers, and Eric Preston. I will take any questions now. Okay.
So your strip tillage, so you do that year after year, right?
Yes.
So what are the relative positions of the strips from one year to another? Are they over top of the same, or are they shifted? Are they at a different angle?
They are. The question was, is the strip tillage in the same location year after year? We try our best to strip till on top of the row every year. So they should be strip tilled corn, and then once we come in and harvest the soybeans, strip till on top of the row.
Is that how the farmer would do it as well?
Yes and no. Some farmers do tend to do on top of the row. Some try to come in and split the rows, so we would expect to see different responses, because once you move that strip till band over, eventually you're going to be tilling the entire plot area, so it would probably look more like conventional tillage as opposed to a combination of conventional with no till. Yes.
Did anyone dig up these bands to see where the roots were in relation to them? With the deep banding, is it the roots extracting the phosphorus from those different areas?
The question was, did we dig up the roots to try to see if they were isolated to these bands? We actually just opened up a partnership with our new soils professor, who installed Rhizosphere tubes, So putting in a camera to take a 360 video, 360 image, that's the only data we'll have, and it's not been analyzed at this time.
Okay, let's thank our speaker one more time.